Please open your Bibles to the book of Romans and the 7th chapter. Romans chapter 7. In your Scofield Bible, page 1200, beginning with verse 15, we'll read responsively through verse 23. And we'll read together a verse from chapter 8 as well. It's Romans chapter 7, verses 15 through 23, page 1200 in your Scofield Bible. Let's please stand for the reading of the Word of God. For that which I do I allow not, for what I would, that do I not, but what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. And now let's read verse 11 of chapter 8 of Romans. Ready? But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. And let's pray. Dear Lord, we certainly are fortunate people tonight. We're free. We get to live in the greatest country on earth. We get to be a part of a society that's not only free, but our needs generally are pretty well provided. Thank you for plenty. But thank you especially tonight for a church like our church. Thank you for this great gathering of people from all over this area. Thank you for a book. We call it the Bible. We accept it as thy word. We're thankful for its preservation. We're thankful tonight that we have a foundation upon which to stand that's sure and secure. We thank you for our preacher. We pray that you'd use him tonight in a way that will bring not only blessing to our hearts, but something that's useful, practical, as we strive together here to labor in the ministry. May we have thy help tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Without your turning to it tonight, I want to read some verses for you and give you just about a 5-minute Bible study, and then I want to speak on the subject from my text, which is, it's not one of the verses read a while ago, but here's my text: that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. I want to talk to you tonight on the subject resurrection power. Resurrection power. I'm going to ask you to listen carefully without your looking at it. We read a while ago the 7th chapter of Romans, and we read about a warfare that's going on. Everybody here who's saved has it. As the Indian said, there's a white dog inside me, and there's a black dog inside me, and the white dog wants me to do good, and the black dog wants me to do bad. There is that white dog and that black dog and everybody in this room. If you're saved, if you're a child of God, there's a battle going on. There's something that says do good, something says don't do good, there's something that says do bad, there's something that says don't do bad. And the apostle says it like this, for that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do not. What I hate, that I do. You know what it's like. You say, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do better. But something happens, you don't do better. Or you say, I'm going to quit this awful habit I have. But something happens, you don't quit it. There's a constant battle going on. Now, this chapter deals with that battle. Now, in chapter 8, it continues with that. And I read for you, the battle is between the flesh and the spirit. And I read for you a few verses here. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. They that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Because the carnal mind, that's the fleshly mind, is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. And then another one of our texts tonight, I have two texts. This one says, but if the Spirit, and don't miss this, if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Now, I want us to pray. Father, bless me as I try to preach tonight. I pray You'd speak to our hearts and give us attentive ears and minds and hearts to the message of God from His book. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to talk to you, and I want you to sit up straight. And by the way, you're here, and you've got to be here for another 2-3 hours. And you may as well listen to what's being said. I mean, you're here, and we're going to be here. Not for long. We'll be here for a while. But you may as well listen. So I want you to follow me very carefully. I want to help you, and I promise you tonight I'll teach you a truth that'll help you if you listen to me. Listen very carefully. Jesus had a decision to make. He had a decision, and that decision was whether or not to perform His miracles and do His work in the energy of the Holy Spirit or as God. Now bear in mind, Jesus was as much man as if He were not God. Likewise, He were as much God as if He were not man. He is or was the God-man. Now then, Jesus he could have gone one or two directions. He could have raised the dead, cast out devils, caused the blind to see, the deaf to hear, the dumb to speak. He could have performed His miracles as God. Now that's one alternative. A second alternative is He could have performed His miracles as a Spirit-filled man. Now, He has this choice to make. Now, if He performs His miracles as God, then I cannot have that same power because I'm not God. But if He performs His miracles as a Spirit-filled man, then He can be my example. The Bible says in 1 John, as He is, so are we in this world. So Jesus chose, don't miss it now, Jesus chose to perform His miracles and do His work, not as God, but as a man filled with the Holy Spirit, so that you and I might fulfill John 14:12, that says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall do, because I go to my Father. So Jesus chose the latter. How many times have I said this? If Jesus came tonight into this service, if He walked down the center aisle, wouldn't you love to see Him tonight? Oh, I want to see Him, look upon His face. If Jesus walked down that center aisle tonight, I have never seen Him, but I think I'd know Him. I know He wouldn't look like the hippie pictures that they make of Him. But if I think I'd know Him. I think if He walked down the aisle, I think I could recognize Him. And I'd say, folks, I got some good news for you. Jesus walked in. I'll see Him. It won't be many years. My mama's looking at Him tonight. Dr. Rice is watching Him. Dr. Roloff is with Him. Brother Bob Jones Sr. is with Him, and others that have gone on, they're with Him tonight. But if Jesus walked down the aisle, I'd say, folks, the Savior just walked in. I think I'll preach. Jesus, You come on up here and You preach. And I think what I'd do, I think I'd sit down here maybe like this, and I want to be close to Him, and I'd watch Him, and I'd see those scars, wounds in His hand and feet as He would raise His hand up. And I'd look up and I'd listen to Him as He spoke, and I'd want to hear every word. But you know, if Jesus came tonight to this earth and stood behind this pulpit and spoke, did you know He'd use the same Bible I have? He wouldn't have any better Bible to use than I have. You know, He'd preach the same gospel that I preach. He wouldn't have any better gospel to preach than the one I preach. And you know, if somebody got saved, and they would, of course, they wouldn't be any more saved than those several dozens and scores of people, several hundred people who came to Christ this morning in our services. Why? Because He chose to do His work in the energy of the Holy Spirit. And then He tells us to do the same work that He's done and offers us, don't miss me now, offers us that same power. Now, not only did Jesus do His work in the power of the Holy Spirit, but I want to read my text again to you. Paul said, but if the Spirit of Him, now get this, that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. Now, by the way, that spirit does dwell in you. If you've been saved, if you're saved, when you trusted Christ, that spirit came in you to live. Now, follow me very carefully because you need what I'm going to teach tonight. That same Holy Spirit by which Jesus performed His miracles and did His work lives in the body of every single believer. When you receive Christ as your Savior, that Holy Spirit came in your body to live. Now then, the Bible says, if the Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. This is Easter Sunday. Jesus was raised from the dead. But He didn't rise from the dead because He was God. The Holy Spirit raised Him from the dead. And the Bible says that same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies. Now don't leave me. Don't leave me. He's not saying here primarily that you'll be raised from the dead with the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. That is not the subject. The subject is the battle that goes on between right and wrong. The subject is the battle between the white dog and the black dog. Now Jesus is saying there's a battle going on. There's a battle. One something in you says you ought to take a drink of cocktail. Something in you says you shouldn't touch that cocktail. Something in you says you ought to join this Hollywood playboy philosophy. Something inside you says you shouldn't touch that kind of garbage. Something inside you says you ought to watch the soap operas, and something inside of you says you shouldn't touch the soap operas. Something inside of you says you ought to listen to rock music, and something inside of you says you shouldn't listen to that garbage they call rock music. Now, there's a battle going on. Listen carefully. Don't miss it. Jesus is saying here, if the Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead 2,000 years ago dwell in you, that same Holy Spirit can give you victory in the battle between the good and the evil, between the flesh and the spirit. He's saying that the same power that reached down there 2,000 years ago and raised our Savior from the dead, and up from the grave He arose with a mighty triumph over His foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain. He lives forever with His saints to reign. And that same power that raised Him from the dead, listen to me, lives inside you and can raise you from your liquor and raise you from your hatred and raise you from your selfishness and raise you from a wicked life. That same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in your body. And He says, with that same power that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead, you can have victory over the flesh. Now, the honest, simple truth is, Jesus was raised from the dead and offers you that same power. Now, I'll tell you this carefully, and this is the what I'm going to say right now basically is my sermon tonight. Every morning when I wake up, within 15 minutes after I wake up, I get on my knees and I pray this prayer. Holy Spirit, I yield myself to You, and I pray You to help me to cross the path of those whom Jesus would help if He walked in my shoes today. At 9 o'clock every morning, or as near as I can, close to 9, I get on my knees and I say, Holy Spirit, I yield myself to You. And I pray You to help me to cross the path of those whom Jesus would help if He walked in my shoes. At noon every day, or as soon as I get through preaching, if I'm like tomorrow, I'll be up in Maine preaching, and Tuesday at noon, I'll be preaching. But as soon as I get back to my room, I get on my knees beside my bed and I look up and say, Holy Spirit, I yield myself to You. I pray You'd help me to cross the path of those that Jesus would help if He walked in my shoes. At 3 o'clock in the afternoon, or as soon as I can, if I'm busy, as soon as I can after 3 o'clock, I get on my knees. And I say, Holy Spirit, I yield myself to You. I pray You'd help me to cross the path of those whom Jesus would help if He walked in my shoes. At 6 o'clock at night, every night at 6 o'clock, or as soon as I can after 6, I get on my knees and say, Holy Spirit, I yield myself to You. And I pray You'd help me to cross the path of those whom Jesus would help if He walked in my shoes. Every night about 9, or as soon as I get back from preaching, wherever I'm across the country, I get on my knees and I say, Holy Spirit, I yield myself to You. And I pray You'd help me to cross the path of those whom Jesus would help if He walked in my shoes. And wherever I am before I go to bed, whether it's at my house or in a motel room, I get on my knees and look up and say, Holy Spirit, I yield myself to You. Now, I want to tell you something, folks. You're not going to make it because you got willpower. You can have all the little cute little slogans like say no to drugs all you want to, but that's not going to keep you from the drug traffic. You can say no to illicit sex, and God knows you should, but you're not going to have the victory in the Christian life apart from yielding yourself to the Holy Spirit. And that's the same Spirit that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead. That means whatever your sin is, whatever that besetting sin in your life is, you can have the victory. But you can't have it because you decide to quit it. You've got to yield yourself to that power. Hey,
Did you hear me? That same power that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead lives in your body. Now get it. That same power that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead lives in your body, and you can have victory over your sin. That means when I stand to preach. That means the same power is available for me that raised up Jesus from the dead. That means as you rear your family, the same power is in you to rear your family that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead. Good night, ladies and gentlemen. Unleash that power. The Church of Jesus Christ languishes tonight, and Christians languish in failure and mediocrity while we have available to us the very same power that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead. I think the best illustration of that is an old one. You heard it. You were here. I was preaching one night in Valdosta, Georgia. I said, folks, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I believe this with all my heart. I believe that everything the apostles can do is available tonight. I believe that every power they had is available tonight. I'm not a charismatic, could not be, I'm not going to be, but bless God, I believe we serve a God that can heal any disease He gets ready to heal. I believe in the mighty power of God, and I don't think the apostles had anything available we don't have today. And I'm not going to dispensationalize the power of God out of the Bible. But I want to say this. I was in Valdosta, Georgia, and I was talking about the same subject and all right now. And I said, ladies and gentlemen, I believe we can have the same power today we had 2,000 years ago. I said, I believe with all my heart that if a church would pay the price, they could have 3,000 people saved and walk the aisle in their church on a Sunday. I believe it could happen now. Before I had said those words, I knew I shouldn't have said them. I said, it can happen now. I was on the airplane the next day flying to Chicago, and the Lord said, Jack, I let him call me Jack. He said, Jack, did you mean what you said last night? And I said a lot of things last night. He said, you know what I'm talking about, and I knew what he was talking about. He said, do you really believe that a church could have 3,000 people walk the aisle for salvation? I'm sick and tired of churches having 4 or 5 on Easter, and that's all. I'm sick and tired of one. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, we have the mighty power of Almighty God, the same power that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead. Unleash that power, Church of God. Unleash that power, pulpits of America. Unleash that power, people of God. The same power that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead lives in this body, Romans 8:11 says. I couldn't believe what I did that night. I stood right where I'm standing right now that Wednesday night and announced a certain day we're going to have 3,000 people saved walk the aisle in this auditorium. I couldn't believe it. I got home that night and Miss Howell was waiting at the door. She said, you made a fool of yourself tonight. I said, no, I didn't. I was already a fool. I just revealed it. She said, you said tonight you're going to have 3,000 people walk the aisle just like they had on Pentecost. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to His name. So we got to work. And our church worked and worked and worked and worked and worked and worked. And that day came. 5,195 people walked these aisles, professing faith in Christ as Savior. I said that one time, and a pastor jumped up and said, how many were sincere? I said, about the same percentage of the 4 you had last year. I don't know how many were sincere, and I don't know how many were sincere on Pentecost, but this one thing I do know that the gospel of the grace of God and the plan of salvation was presented, and they were dealt with on their knees. And I'm trying to tell you tonight that whatever the church ever had, she still can have. The same power that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead is what that power that lives in your body tonight. Quickly. No, not quickly. That same resurrection power tonight can raise your dead marriage. That same resurrection power can raise your dead marriage. We've tried the home counselors. We've tried the psychiatrist. We've tried Ann Landers. We've tried her sister, Abigail Van Buren. We've tried the sex counselors. We've tried the psychiatrists. We've tried the psychologists. We've tried modern science. Why, in the name of common sense, doesn't somebody try the mighty power that raised Jesus from the dead? Our homes are crumbling tonight. Our marriages are gone tonight. Divorce runs wild. Hollywood's a whorehouse. Big whorehouse is all she is. I'm trying to tell you, something's going to have to happen to the marriages in our country, or the sick ship is going to sink, and the only hope we have is the mighty power of the Holy Spirit of God Almighty. Your dead marriage can be resurrected tonight. Let me tell you how it can be. If every husband and wife in this room, you listen carefully to me, look right this way. If every husband and wife in this room would get on your knees, I'm not saying together. If every husband would get on his knees and every wife was somewhere on her knees in the morning time and say, Holy Spirit, I yield myself to you. And I pray you'd help me to cross the path of those whom Jesus would help if he walked in my shoes. And if again, at mid-morning, you'd get on your knees somewhere at work or at home, wherever you are, not necessarily together. Look up and say, Holy Spirit, I yield myself to you. And I pray you'd help me to cross the path of those whom Jesus would help if he walked in my shoes. I promise you, if every husband and every wife in this room tonight would choose 7 times a day to yield yourself sincerely and earnestly to the Holy Spirit, I promise you that same mighty power that reached down in that sepulcher, Joseph of Arimathea's sepulcher, and raised up the body of Jesus Christ from the dead after 3 days and 3 nights, that same power will raise your marriage from the dead. Try it 7 times a day. There's no need for all this divorce going on. I don't love her anymore. You would if you'd yield yourself to the Holy Spirit 7 times a day. I'm trying to tell you, any wife and a husband who 7 times a day from your heart would yield yourself to this power inside of you, the same power that raised up Jesus from the dead, and unleash it in your marriage and your home, you can keep the vow that you made back yonder when you said, till death do us part. I'm sick and tired. A couple's come in and say, I don't love her anymore. You didn't say, till I don't love her anymore. You said, till death do us part. Let me make something very clear. Don't you trot your little self to my office and ask me to marry you. If you're going to stay with her till you don't love her anymore. If you are not willing to risk your life on the fact that she's yours till death do us part, don't you come to my office. Don't you do it. Don't you make a farce out of God's first institution. Don't you do it. I'm saying the mighty power that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead can raise your marriage from the dead. Only that, the same power can raise a dead marriage, can also raise a dead church. Our churches are dying in America. We get more excited watching the Hoosiers play basketball, than the Holy Spirit working in the hearts and lives of people. Some of you folks are wondering why all these people stand up and shout. The same reason you shout when Bobby Knight wins a game. Same reason. I'll tell you why. We're as excited about the gospel of Jesus Christ as the sports world is about Michael Jordan. And bless your little heart tonight. Until the Church of Jesus Christ gets raised from her deadness, we're not going to know what we ought to have in America. 37 years ago, this August 30th, I became pastor of this church. The first Sunday night, we had 40 people here. 40 people. First Sunday night. I began shortly after I became pastor over 36 years ago. This little habit I'm talking about right now. I'd get up in the morning and I'd say, Holy Spirit, I yield myself to you. And I pray you'd help me to cross the path of those whom Jesus would help. He walked in my shoes. And I begged the Holy Spirit of God to resurrect this church. I'm not saying this church was real dead when I came here, but it was barely alive. And I kept praying, oh, Holy Spirit of God, raise this church from the dead. Give this church the mighty power of God. May this church be a place where sinners come to God and their lives are transformed by the amazing gospel of Christ. From that 40 attendants, look at this great crowd of thousands tonight. From 52 baptisms the entire year of 1959 to over 200 a week in the last 2 years. Hear what I said? You say, Brother Hiles, that's your charisma. That's not what's built this church. My cuteness has built this church. People across the country said, boy, if I had your humor, I'd build a great church too. I said, shoot, you listen to the same jokes for 37 years? same ones on the first and third Sunday of every month, same ones on the second and fourth Sunday. I tell folks across the country, my folks still laugh at them because they're kind. They love me, but it's sort of a... I'm getting where now I'm just going to call out the numbers, let you laugh at the number. You know what they are. It is not by might. It is not by charisma. It is not by personality. It is not by organization, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And that same Spirit that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead lives in your body. And bless God, He can raise any dead church from the dead tonight and make it alive in soul winning and vigor and power. From 52 a year, baptisms to over 200 a week. From $90,000 a year budget. $90,000 a year. We have to have $90,000 every 2 days. Over $15 million a year. You say, Brother Howes, what does that mean? That means, ladies and gentlemen, you don't do that the same place for 37 years without the mighty Spirit of Almighty God. It's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. From $55.5 million property to over $55 million property. Brother Ray, I was thinking this afternoon, the miracle of this thing. Let's suppose that President Clinton came to Hammond and spoke. I'm going to break my neck on these cords. Let's suppose that President Clinton came to Hammond. Let's suppose he went to the Genesis Center over in Gary. He'd pack it out. Let him come back next Sunday morning and speak. He'd pack it out again. Let him come back 6 hours later and speak. He'd have about 400,000. Let him come back Wednesday night, same week, and speak. He may have a couple of thousand. Let him come back for 37 years, every Sunday morning and every Sunday night and every Wednesday night. Hillary wouldn't even come. Let me be a little more blunt. If you don't like this, top up your ears. If the Pope in Rome came to Northwest Indiana and he spoke, I'll promise you that probably 25,000 people or more would come out to hear him. Let him come back next Sunday morning. Maybe 15,000. Let him come back every Sunday morning for 37 years. And every Sunday night for 37 years and preach in the seat, speak in the same place. You couldn't get enough people to be ushers. I'm trying to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, when this church has been on this corner for 109 years this fall, preaching out of this same book for 109 years and for almost 37 of those, this old man's been preaching from behind this pulpit, and crowds come like this after 109 years. A pope couldn't draw him. The president couldn't draw him. Red Skelton couldn't draw him. Michael Jordan couldn't draw him. He's speaking. I'm saying nothing could do this but the mighty power of the Holy Spirit. I'm saying the Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead can raise your dead marriage and raise a dead church. But that isn't all. The same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead can raise a dead country. Can raise a dead nation from national debt. Can raise a dead nation to pay off its national debt and not leave our children to starve someday because of our lack of character. Same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead can raise a nation from its murdering babies. And let me tell you something, brother. Every doctor that takes the life of an unborn baby is a dirty, stinking murderer. I said murderer. Oh, we get all riled up about the bomber, Unabomber, out Northwest Park. Let me tell you something. He's not near as guilty in the hand in the sight of Almighty God, nor does he have the blood dripping from his fingers like the abortion crowd has. Call it what you want to call it. It's murder. You've read in the newspapers about here's a guy killed a woman who's pregnant, and they indicted him for double murder. Well, if you kill a woman that's pregnant, and that's double murder, I guess if you kill just one of them, it's single murder, isn't it? I'm saying the only hope of the United States of America is not the Democrats, it's not the Republicans, it's the mighty Spirit of Almighty God to raise this nation from the dead. Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead can raise us from the national debt, murdering babies, from our government going into the gambling business. I'm talking about the lottery. I'm talking about casinos. The government has no business in encouraging a crime. The state of Indiana has a law against gambling. That means every Catholic church ought to quit it. And that means they'll close down the lottery. I'm saying we need the mighty Spirit of God that raised up Jesus from the dead to raise our dead nation to live again. We can raise our nation from selling tobacco, allowing pornography, marrying queers, violence, godless schools, institutions, educational system, legal liquor, loss of the work ethic, unisex philosophy. I'm trying to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, you say what you want to say, and you can have all these little guys on these little talk shows, Dr. So-and-so and philosopher so-and-so and psychiatrist so-and-so, but let me tell you, the only answer is not in that which is human, but the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit of God Almighty. Same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead can raise your marriage. The same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead can raise our dead churches. The same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead can raise a dead nation. Fourth, the same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead can raise a dead life. We've tried the power of positive thinking. We've tried possibility thinking. Let me tell you something. That's nothing more than second-class psychology. Brother, if your life is ever raised from the dead, I'm talking about a backslider. I'm talking about a person who's ruined his life, whose life has been shipwrecked on the ocean of sin. I'm talking about a person whose life is not counting, who once served God but no longer does it. I'm here to tell you that there is a mighty power who lives inside your body that can raise you back to service for God again. You listen to me. Any person in this room tonight who's away from God, you put yourself down 7 times a day. And from your heart, 7 times every day, you look up and you say, Holy Spirit, I yield myself to you. And I pray you'd help me to cross the path of those whom Jesus would help if he walked in my shoes. I promise you, if you sincerely say that, you'll have a revival in your soul and your life will be salvaged. I don't care how far in sin you've gone, you can be salvaged by the mighty power of the Holy Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead. Five and last. Not only can this same power that raised up Jesus from the dead raise your dead marriage and raise your dead church and raise your dead nation and raise your dead life, but this same power that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead can raise your dead spirit. Watch me carefully. These three men right here, stand up. Just where you are. These three men represent man in the Garden of Eden. Look at me. Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, they're represented by these three men. Adam and Eve were made threefold creatures. Body, soul, spirit. Body is that part of man which can be seen. The soul is that part of man which can fellowship with his fellow man. The spirit is that part of man which can fellowship with God. Listen carefully. The body is not eternal. And the soul is not eternal. Jesus said, don't fear him can destroy just your body, but fear him that can destroy both body and soul in hell. So the body is temporal and the soul is temporal. Adam and Eve had a body, a soul, and a spirit. When Adam and Eve sinned, that spirit died. Here's the way every man who's ever trusted Christ is tonight, body and soul. Now listen carefully to me. All across America today, people joined churches that did not get born again. Babies were sprinkled, little children were confirmed that knew nothing about the gospel of Jesus Christ. All in the world they did was doctor up that which cannot live eternally. Now you can make the body healthier, cleaner, but it's going to die someday. You can make the soul nicer and friendlier and more courteous and even more benevolent, but it's going to die someday. Now you listen to me. You've got between the time that you know that you're a sinner as a child somewhere and the time that you die to get this spirit back to life again. Because that body cannot live forever, no matter how much you doctored up. And that soul cannot live forever because body and soul are both temporal. They're not eternal. That means the only way you can go to heaven is get this spirit back to life again. Whenever you look and say, I know I'm a sinner and I know I'm lost and I know I'm going to hell and I know Jesus Christ came and paid the penalty on the cross of Calvary for me and I rely upon Him as my Savior, your spirit comes back to life. One of these days you're going to die. And when you die, your body is going to die and your soul is going to die. But thank God you can go to heaven because you've got a spirit that's alive. That's what Jesus was talking about when He said, marvel not that I say unto you, must be born again. He said, you've got to get your spirit born again so you'll have something to live forever. Stand up again. God made man a body, a soul, and a spirit. Man died spiritually in the Garden of Eden. Now he's a body and a soul. When man dies, his body dies, and also his soul dies because man no longer can communicate with his fellow man. Here's a fellow joined the church. Cleaned up his act physically, cleaned up his act soul as far as his soul is concerned. But he won't live forever. So what happens? Person says no to Jesus Christ, he dies. How good he was, there's nothing can live forever. For that spirit is what lives forever. And that's what it means in Ephesians and again in Colossians. You have he quickened who were dead in your trespasses and your sins. Only hope you've got to go to heaven is get that spirit back alive before the body and the soul dies. May I testify tonight? 69 years ago, last September 25th. I'm not going to say 70 years ago, next September 25th. 69 years ago, last September 25th, I was born. Please don't misunderstand me. I've never taken a drink of liquor. I've never smoked a cigarette. I've never said a curse word. Never. Oh, I did say Hillary one time, but I'm talking about a real bad curse word. One time when I was a boy, I came home, I learned a word at school, didn't know what it meant. I was a little boy. I said to my mother in our little ghetto place, I said, golly. She said, what did you say? I said, golly. Back in those days, we had what they call OK soap. It was not wrapped. It was unwrapped, and it just cut in blocks and had one little sticker on the side, on the corner of it. It said, OK soap. My mother got a knife and cut and made some shavings out of that OK soap, and she got some hot water and made some soapy water, and she said, you open your mouth. And I opened my mouth, and my mother got her fingers like that, and she stuck that a hot rag down that hot water, that OK soap, and she washed my mouth out, but also as I said, golly, brother, if I'd have said something worse than that, she'd give me a mouth transplant. I've never said a curse word. I've never taken a drink. I've never smoked a cigarette. I've never taken any dope. I know some, but I've never taken any dope. I'm saying as far as the body goes, I'd have a better than average chance. But the body has no chance. It's going to die. How about the soul? If you know me, you know that I'm courteous. If you know me, you know that I'm friendly. If you know me, you know that I have a little teeny bit of unselfishness. I've tried to work on myself to be courteous and kind. And for 37 years in this town, I've made friends. Now, everybody doesn't think I'm normal. They think I'm a fanatic and a nut, but they think I'm a nice fanatic and a nice nut. You check the places where I do business and see what they think about me. You go down to City Hall and see what they think about me. I'm telling you, I'm a law-abiding citizen. My wife and I went out and ate today at Cindy and Jack's, our daughter and son-in-law. I'll have you stay alive there for a while. Don't you die. You'll ruin this whole sermon now. They live out in St. John. We got on Calumet Avenue. It goes out through Dyer. It's two lane. Speed limit says 35. When you get to Dyer, it says 25. I obeyed the speed limit. I was going 25. My wife said, this is embarrassing. We won't make it back in time for church. Had a long line of cussing folks behind me. I think Brother Goldsmith is one of those folks behind me, cousin. We finally got out there. We ate a quick meal. We're coming back. And I was talking about when I get to be 70. She said, we won't be home by then. Jack Scott says you can hitchhike the airport faster than you can drive with me. Why? Because I keep the speed limit. I'm trying to tell you that I've worked on my soul to try to make it decent, honest, friendly, courteous, law-abiding. It doesn't matter. It won't live forever. You can doctor the body up all you want to, doctor the soul up all you want to, but you got to get that spirit back alive. So, when I was a lad in the ghettos of Southwest Dallas, with a neighborhood drunk was my father. Lived in all kinds of unbelievable poverty. I don't mean welfare poverty. We didn't have welfare in those days. We had sick fare. We didn't have it in those days. All kinds of poverty. One night I knelt at church. Just before the service started, looked up and said, "Dear Jesus, if you'll take a poor little ghetto-bound barefoot boy, son of the neighborhood alcoholic, I'll take you as my Savior." That moment, my spirit came back to life. Now, in about 5 months from now, I'll reach my 110. I don't know how long it'll be before that or after that, but I know I can't be here much longer. And one of these days, this old body is going to die. And this old soul is going to die. But praise God, I'll live forever. Because I have... And that's what it means to be born again. Thank you very much. Let me summarize. And as you know, when I summarize, it takes as long as I do when I parenthesize or analyze or agonize. But I'll summarize. Jesus said, "I could perform, do my work as God. Or I could do my work as a spirit-filled man. I think I'll do it as a spirit-filled man so my people can copy me and I can be a pattern for them." By that same Holy Spirit, he was raised from the dead. Then he comes along and tells us about the battle we have to fight. And he says that battle is between good and evil, the flesh and the spirit. Now he says, "I can tell you how to win it. I can tell you how to overcome your hot temper. I can tell you how to overcome your alcohol. I can tell you how to overcome your selfishness. I can tell you how to overcome your bitterness. I can tell you how to overcome your sadness. I can tell you how to overcome your despondency. I'll give you that same power. The very same power that reached down and raised Jesus Christ from the dead. I'll put him in you to live. And that way you can overcome and be raised from the dead life. Not only that," he says, "that same power can raise your dead marriage. That same power can raise your dead church. That same power can raise your dead country. That same power can raise your dead life. And that same power can raise your dead spirit." What a power. The same... This is Easter Sunday. Folks didn't know what they were talking about, most of them, when they sang "Up from the Grave You Rose." They go back to their same dead life tomorrow. Drink their same martinis. Go to their same nightclubs. Go to their same dirty parties. Watch their same HBO movies. And go back to their holes, and most of them won't come to church again for a whole year. What difference does it make if Jesus rose from the dead, if it doesn't cause you to rise from a dead life, a dead marriage, a dead spirit, and live again with the mighty power of the Spirit of God that raised lives in you? That same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead. 7 times a day, I promise you. Try it. Sincerely, 7 times a day, just look up to God on some kind of a schedule and sincerely say, "Holy Spirit, I yield myself to you. I promise you he'll take control. I promise you can have victory over the sin in your life. I promise you can raise your dead marriage and raise a dead church and raise a dead nation and raise a dead life if you'll just appropriate this mighty power that's available for you." our Heavenly Father. Nobody knows it much, but I've given the answer tonight. The White House doesn't know it. Congress doesn't know it, and the Supreme Court doesn't know it. The educational system that kicked the Bible out doesn't know it. Most of the country doesn't understand it. However, we found out, they're finding out, they don't have the answers. And tonight we put our finger on the answer.